Hello listeners, you're with David, and in the studio we have the Mayor of Glen Innes, Councillor Margot Davis, and Acting General Manager, Director of Corporate Services, Lindsay Woodland, with us as well. So we'll be covering last week's council meeting and possibly some other issues that relate to what's going on in your local council. So welcome both, and let's get underway, Margot, I think, with the resolution of matters of the New England Weeds Authority. It's been a while and it's weed spraying time again, and people will be wondering where we're at.
Good morning, listeners. Yes, a little while ago the New England Weeds Authority was wound up, and they've been going through the process of selling the asset. So the asset has been sold. We're just waiting for that to be exchanged. But essentially, with the winding up of the New England Weeds Authority, council are now taking on ownership of the weeds management around the local government area. And one of the employees has moved over to council to facilitate that happening.
Okay, I'd imagine there'd be a fair amount of contract work getting that job done, the actual spraying, and people are no doubt keen to get it underway because those road reserves are in fact weed corridors in some respects, and the birds and foxes and so on, make sure they spread them around.
Yes, it's certainly an important element to manage in our community, and we've also been in discussions about what that plan looks like, how we execute good weed management in collaboration with Glenrac, who obviously are very experienced in that regard as well.
Well, thank you, Margot. Let us move on to the second item, and this is on page item 7.2, page 6 of the business paper, and it's a psychosocial safety and wellbeing report, and you've had quite an involvement in this, Margot, with the original Mayoral Minute, and it's also dealt with in the attachments. 284 pages of attachments to this meeting, and this one's starts on page 42 of ours. So over to you.
Yes, actually quite a light agenda this month, so over 200 is not that much in the grand scheme of things, but this was an important report that went up, and it was delayed from last council meeting as the attachment wasn't quite ready. We were going to put it up as a late attachment, but decided to defer it from the last meeting the previous meeting to this last meeting. So essentially what this is it's a foundational framework that has been endorsed by council at the last meeting. And really the purpose of the framework is to be preventative in its nature. So it's more to do with risk management and prevention of psychosocial hazards for councillors as they execute their role in the community. So it's there really to prevent harm and minimise psychosocial hazards, to promote wellbeing for councillors and community, and also to comply with the legislation and existing codes like the Code of Conduct. So often council will develop their own policies to put framework around and make it easier for council officers, for councillors, including the mayor, and the community to understand what their roles and responsibilities are and what the pathways to seek support and guidance are should they come across a situation where there is a psychosocial issue or hazard that they're exposed to.
Okay, has this issue become more apparent, or perhaps the rate increase issue had a bearing on it? Or?
Look, I think what the perspective that I'm certainly looking at it from is more sort of broader. It's it's something that not only Glen Innes have experienced challenges around, but it's broader than that. It's actually a national issue, and it's something that's spoken about on a global level too. So council, we're trying to be proactive to make sure that councillors have the support that they need. Certainly the special rate variation consultation was very challenging, and there's clear reasons for that. No one wants a rate rise, but we have to go out there and consult. And people got angry, but that's not the reason for it. We are open about people dissenting or disagreeing with things that council are doing. That's not what this is about. This is about ensuring that, you know, if it goes further than that to harassment and personal attacks and things like that, that there are processes in place and support in place for councillors to address that with them within themselves and get the support mechanisms around them. So we really want to make sure that the environment that councillors work in is safe. And that is not about restricting people from having their say or disagreeing with council. It's not about that. It's that line that gets crossed beyond that and becomes harmful to the psychosocial safety of the elected officials that are there actually to do their best and represent the community to the best of their ability, and to make sure at the same time that that second hat of ensuring council are running effectively and efficiently and that they're set up for success to do that.
Okay, you mentioned crossing a line, and of course when is an incident, and often that can be opinion. And then we have a situation of an incident report. And I just ask a question. In the event of it going that far, does the other person get a right of redress to put their point of view?
So this is about the support mechanisms, mm-hmm. and raising the fact that putting your hand up and saying, this situation has happened, I need some support, and having those mechanisms there to support people.
Okay, we'll move on. We move now to item 7.5, and we've got a number of financial ones running one after the other, so a big financial aspect. So dealing with item 7.5 initially, on page 14, the investment report, and over to you, Lindsay, to cover the situation there.
Yeah, thank you, David. Yes, the council's financial position is improving. The investment report, we've got something like $28 million either in investments or in cash in the bank at the moment, which is a healthy position. Now, there's still a lot of those that money that's invested that is what we call restricted cash, so it's restricted for a particular purpose. We can't use it for normal daily operational purposes, but we've recently secured a loan, an external loan of $5 million, and that's helped us, and that's for working capital. So it's to help us manage these grants, particularly those grants where we get a promise of the funding, but the funding doesn't come into our bank account until we actually complete the work. So any business anywhere will have money for working capital. It's a requirement to manage your cash flow, the ebbs and flows of your cash flow, and that's exactly what we've done. So we have a $5 million loan now, and that's helped us to manage our cash flow. The unrestricted cash position now, which is, you know, a position that we've been fighting to get to for quite some months now, is $4.9 million, which is a great position to be in. And our cash flow forecast for the year is that will remain positive for the year. So that's a great outcome for council, and it allows us to manage these grants more effectively.
So the immediate cash availability was one of the issues, of course, that council had to deal with, and this this loan is largely, it's an interest-only loan, I take it.
Yeah, it's a two-year loan, and it's to see us through. Now, we may extend that loan, we may not. Mm-hmm. It will just see how things go. But the amount of grant funding is diminishing, so the problem is actually going to be addressed over the next 2 to 3 years, we believe, anyway, because the capital grants are getting back to what their normal level would be. We're at record levels of something like $20 million each year in capital grants, and that's, You know, that's we used to have $3 million a year, and so $3 million went to $20 million over a five-year period, and that became very difficult for us to manage. But with this working capital now, with this loan, that really does help us.
Okay. Now, note that in the waste management area, that obviously the investments are all broken into their appropriate sections. In waste management, the investment there is $4.659 million. So, have we got major activities down the track rather than detail, just the overall?
Yeah, so we've got a number of landfill sites, and each of those landfill sites we need to put money away for future work, future remediation work and so on, and future capacity building for the waste in the future. We've done a lot of work in terms of the data analysis on how many years it will take and so on for us to before we need more capacity in the landfill. But there is work to do, and there are plans underway to do more work in the landfill, and that $4.9 million is like a safeguard, if you like. It makes sure that we've got money for future generations, make sure that we've got money put away for the future work that's required at each of those landfill sites.
And probably the overall waste management issue is one that we could target as a specific topic when that opportunity arises.
Correct, yes.
Okay, and another area, drainage, $1.186 million there. Any particular aspects of that? And, of course, that incorporates rural and urban drainage, that fund, I understand.
Yeah, and the drainage, again, we've got we're looking always for grants to improve the drainage and so on. And so, you know, that money may be through a grant. I'd need to dig through the detail of that, but it may be a grant that's put aside, grant funding that's put aside for a particular project which requires drainage. I think on the last episode, we talked about, I think it was Oxford Street and the drainage works that need to be, and the footpath works that need to be done there. So that drainage, again, is for future projects, and I think that, again, it's a good safeguard to have that money put aside, whether it's for grants or whether it's not for grants, it doesn't really matter. It's for a specific purpose.
Okay, fine. Well, I guess that wraps up the investment report, and we will be back with a further interview segment with the Mayor and Acting General Manager shortly.